No, I was thinking, what's his name? Bruce Almighty? Is it okay. Bruce Almighty? You know what I'm thinking?
Yeah, yeah, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, yeah.
Right.
Okay. You know, we moved it down for Sherry last week. Is it a bad angle for you?
It's good now.
Okay, fine. Bruce Almighty and Morgan Freeman?
Right, the black guy.
Doesn't he go,
it's good?
Because Jim Carrey says, it's good.
Right? Yeah, and he mocks him.
Yeah, a little bit. Doesn't he? A little bit?
Yeah. In that one scene.
way to
save it.
In that one scene. Yeah, right. Yeah, because why overdo it, right? I mean,
why think about it?
Exactly. Just that one scene. Okay. I miss you when you're not here.
Oh, stop.
Because
no, you don't.
The insanity. All right, hold on a second here. Let me get all my shit together. We got some tunes. We got audio from, where's the audio from?
Don't you think Tiger is going to have to be like a permanent
maybe that's a problem.
Guest?
Hello. What do you mean, permanent guest?
Well, the things.
The sound effects.
He should have the This Is Tiger.
And then, oh, yeah. Whack!
You mean from his voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Telling
yeah.
that girl
oh,
to...
Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
No, it's not.
That's not a bad... All right.
I mean, first I recommend the Facebook fan page, and now this.
you keep an eye on it. I got to stick by the radio.
All right, let's see here.
Who's that?
You heard something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that Robert De Niro in Bronx Tale?
Yeah, that's what that is. That's Robert De Niro in Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
Everybody got pens and shit like that? So you guys all good?
I'll take a pen.
Well, all right. it's not a bank that's going out of business. I mean.
That's a nice one.
Okay. Everybody else have a pen?
I'll take one.
You brought the stuff over.
I did. I just didn't think I needed
Express.
One.
The mics are on, by the way, just so that you know. All right, I'm looking for one more thing here. All right, here we go. We'll figure this out as we move along, right?
All right.
Okay.
Your joke?
Isn't that what we normally do? At least that's what we do. It may not be what
joke.
You do.
Yeah, where's my joke? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah, okay, good. And here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, episode number 71, being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 9th of December, 2009.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
So here's the deal with the joke. Every week, as you know, during this little cold opening segment, I do a joke. And most people don't know why I read a joke every week. And that's because when I first got this gig to do Schnauzer Logic on KSCO, I realized that every time that I opened the microphone for the very first time, my voice was cracking and I was nervous and I would kind of squeak and moan and I just never felt like myself. And so I thought to myself, you know what I need to do? I need to find some way of speaking something that's already pre-written that doesn't matter to me, and that will get me talking, and then when the show actually starts, I won't be so nervous. So it was a little trick that I used to try to get out of being so nervous, and now it's not that important to do that joke anymore because I'm not really, I don't have any problems with talking. Anyhow, but I found a joke that I heard this week on the end of Have I Got News For You? Actually, Have I Got More News For You? And I thought it was really funny, and so we'll let Joe Brand read today's joke.
Here we are, married couple on their wedding night, yep. Right, naked on the bed. Husband yep. says to the wife, I want to try this new position, but I'm too scared to ask till we got married. And she goes, all right, what is it? And he goes, it's called the wheelbarrow. And she says, well, what do I have to do? And he says, basically, you put your hands on the floor like that. I get your legs either side of my thighs and whoa, off we go. And she goes, oh, all right then, but just promise me we won't go past my mum's house.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easta, my friend, Son of Easta, and welcome. You managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It's our 71st episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 9th of December, 2009. 4 weeks in a row, my friends. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you here for what I know is going to be a great, great show. We've got three of our regulars in studio this afternoon, and we've got a ton of topics to be talking about here, so... I think without any further ado, let me just punch down the buttons and say, Son of Easta to John DeCoven.
Son of Easta, Robin.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Well, it's a great day. Everyone's here. Parvee, Sherry, you, me.
Yes, we're all here.
No, are these the ones that matter?
The best.
Because you didn't say that the last couple episodes.
Well, you weren't here last week.
So I matter.
Exactly. You matter, Parvee. You matter a lot.
Thank you.
Are you going to make me play the Hulk music?
No.
Okay. So you're here again in the studio. This is a delight. I love having you here.
I told you I love coming in the studio.
Ew.
It's like a very good.
You've now set the bar for today's show. We weren't sure where the show was going to be. It's going to be an instrument landing. It's going to be visual flight rules. Apparently, it's actually going to be a Hudson landing today. So, but that's okay because I got my life vest on. I'm ready to go. Last week's show with Jeff Moranis. Did you enjoy
it? It was great. I thought Jeff was hilarious. And I listened to the show.
Yes.
Sherry, do you listen to the shows after or
I
not?
I usually do. I have in the last couple weeks, but
they're funnier.
They're funny. I know. It's almost as if we weren't there.
Right. Well, because you pick up on things that you didn't notice when you were in the show, and Jeff's hilarious.
He's hilarious.
Really funny.
All this sotto voce kind of shit, he's just kind of throwing stuff in there. Yeah. He's a lot like Sean. He's kind of a comedy sniper. He just kind of sits in the background and kind of picks off his shots. You know, and I think we'll have Sean up in the book depository. We'll have Jeff over by the grassy knoll, and we'll get the two of them on there. That other voice that you hear, the lovely lilting sound, is our good friend Sherry Stevens, Son of Easta.
Son of Easta.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I suck, but what the fuck are you going to do about it? So, let's see. Get a little level. I didn't do the levels this week, so give me a 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
That sounds like you. All right, good.
I hope it does, because you know what? It's me.
There you go. And back by popular demand after Woo! Being away for over 2 weeks.
Please, please.
Sean.
Sean.
No edits.
It's Parvee.
I got it. It's Parvee.
It's Parvee.
John was just talking about how great the last two shows have been, and coincidentally, I haven't been here. You're like, they're getting better.
No. I thought, by the way, just really quick, I remembered, if you do listen back to the last episode, I was not greeted on the outro on the first segment. Remember Robin said I was? Anyways.
I'm glad there's tape to back me up.
No edits.
That's why you listen back, to see if you want to hear your name?
No.
A little bit. All right, here we go. Mr. Kipadotta, welcome. Dick Cheney.
Stroke
no,
or
that's
low.
Michael Swirling. That's Dick Cheney. Harry. Whitney.
Home Network.
We'll let you tell. Who are these people?
English motherfucker.
That's Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, this guy.
Nonsense babbler. That's hilarious. That's Molly.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Is a good fairy going to
Barbara Walters?
Take off my penis.
It's none of your business.
Chelsea Clinton.
I'm Brian Cox.
There you go.
That was Brian Cox.
We're going to get Brian on again.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Now that he's famous.
I did email him a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And he had actually emailed me, and I told him we started doing the podcast and that Robin wants you on. He's all okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we... sorry. Is that me? Hello? No edits. Yeah, I love... Is that me?
No, I hear
I
you.
Can hear
things
you.
Sound weird today, don't they?
No.
Did they not? No? Maybe just in my head.
I don't think that's
well, you
the
can
microphone.
Play it back later
which is,
and see
which
if
is
it
either
does.
Which is either something from the podcast or what I say when I go to the doctor's office. It's not really clear which. I love Brian. And Brian, as you mentioned, has been incredibly kind and generous to do voices for us. And he did the Night Before Christmas bit that we did a few years ago. We did the Schnauzer Logic Night Before Christmas. We need to do something like that again. Again,
we have to
this
do a
year.
Holiday show.
I guess. Now we only got 2 more weeks. We have 1 more week before. I guess technically we have 2 more shows before the holiday.
Right.
So next week you're around.
Yes.
The week after, not so much?
Probably not.
All right.
Yeah, that's holiday. That's Christmas, I think, right? A couple days after that is Christmas.
Yeah, so Christmas is on Thursday.
What's
correct.
Today?
Today's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday, the 9th. That's our 71st episode of Schnauzer Logic being recorded.
In 2 weeks is the day of Festivus.
Oh.
It's the 23rd.
Okay, so we can't do... I mean, you're not going to be around on Festivus, and you have a thing on Festivus.
I have a thing.
All right, so it sounds like we've got 2 more shows this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so we have 2 weeks to kind of come up with something that's entertaining. I was going to say really entertaining, but...
Let's strive for just entertaining.
Even I feel the pressure.
I feel the pressure when you look at me like that. I'm looking for entertainment.
Well, I'm looking at you because it looks like you you played the back nine with Tiger Wife's... Tiger Woods' wife.
Yeah, say that 3 times fast. Tiger Woods' wife. Are they getting a divorce?
I don't know. She moved out, right?
She bought a house in Sweden. Well, I saw that on very
is that right?
Newsworthy news.
Yes.
And that happened like in September. She bought a beautiful big house in Sweden.
Oh,
so maybe she's going back.
But I heard she moved out, and then of course, what was it, 2-3 days ago?
The mom
had a problem.
Right.
Maybe Tiger is doing her.
Oh, come on, John. Come on.
Really?
That's not possible?
Really? Very possible, but come on.
It's the image. It's the image that's disturbing him. Oh, yeah. Have you seen his eye? Do you know what he's looked at? We need a picture of that eye for the webpage.
No.
We got it. We're good to go. All right, we're good. Here we go. We're good to go. All right, this will be up on the website.
That's great.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. We'll play a little tunage. I got some brand new Weezer.
Oh, good.
I like the new Weezer album, and then they just got into a car accident, right? In, was it upstate New York?
Yeah, and they canceled the rest of their tour.
So that's probably...
Well, he was in there with his wife, his child...
Rivers Cuomo?
And the assistant in the tour bus, Tickle Tumble, right. And he's the one that got the worst of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, thoughts and prayers out to him, obviously.
Really?
Well, yes.
He's not dead.
Well, no, for a speedy recovery.
But you only get thoughts and prayers if you're dead?
You're only dead if you're in this magazine.
How fucking miserly are you about
this? Well, I mean, he survived, and he's a millionaire. He's all right.
Rivers, you're on your own. Parvi says, fuck you. Well, if he's still breathing.
Thoughts and prayers for somebody else, like Tiger, that poor guy.
Boy, you are really fascinated with Tiger.
Because he wasn't here for 2 weeks, and so it feels like he missed out on all the Tiger piling
mania.
On. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Tiger mania. Hold the Tiger.
Oh, it's just going to...
Right, because it's so clever.
Oh, my gosh.
3 weeks.
Oh, that brought back the 7th grade to me.
What?
Yeah. I was so influenced by those stupid commercials, I thought if I wore that t-shirt, every girl would be around me, and I started wearing it, and nobody touched me. Because I had little boy boobs, and it just looked disgusting. With those tight polo Tiger shirts.
Isn't that a children's nursery line? Little boy boobs, come blow here. Blow your own horn.
Yeah. Very popular.
No, wait a second.
You remember Le Tiger?
No, nothing.
Come on.
Le Tigre.
Yeah, that one too. But you remember Le Tiger, right? On the commercial, hold that tiger. And the guy would put on the shirt, and the girls would be all over the guy because he had like a little tiger emblem. So, of course, I needed that because I was so influential to everything. That'll be a soundbite soon. and nothing. And it doesn't work. It's all bullshit.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I know I made the rule about not editing, but I got to figure that I'm really only hurting myself at the end of the day. I mean, I know I'm hurting listeners, but I'm also hurting me. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll play a little Weezer. We'll come back on the other side. Boyana has now given us show notes in audio form. I've been listening so much, I now have developed a Slavic accent. She's given us show notes in audio form. So I think we play the show notes.
Okay.
And then we can kind of get into some other stuff. You want to talk about...
Dead people.
Dead people.
I would.
You see them.
No.
In the
pages I read
of magazines. you read them.
Yes.
You ever done one of those Deadpools? You
know, no. I've always wanted to, but I can't even think right now who would be next. I can't imagine who would be next.
Just don't say...
Well, don't say Rivers Cuomo.
Don't say...
I mean, there you go.
Don't say... can I say a quick... Don't say any type of government official.
Correct.
Because a friend of mine, this is kind of like your story, in an email made a joke about offing Obama.
Uh-huh. Like you just did right now?
Yeah, but it wasn't for me. And 2 days later, he got a knock on his
door. Is that right?
Secret Service.
Was it a work email or a personal email?
It was personal.
Wow.
Right. So, what's interesting from my perspective is John thinks that story says don't make jokes. I think that story means the government apparently is reading your fucking email. But John has sort of gone in another way. And that's cool, too. You're not as worried about that. The fact that they know. That's whatever.
I love John so much.
I do, too. I love all you guys. I'm glad that you're here. All right. We're going to take a fucking break. And then we're going to play some Weezer. We're going to come back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, John Nikov, and Sherry Stevens, and our good friend Parviz Fatali back in the studio, all inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Greenfield, in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Crystal!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 17 minutes into this 71st episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Also, Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. We're over on Facebook. We've got a Facebook Schnauzer Logic fan page. We're over on Twitter.com/Schnauzer Logic. What have I missed? Something important?
MySpace?
Yeah, but nobody's on. MySpace is like bands and porn. Right? Pretty much. Mm-hmm. I think that's all pretty that's much. There. Know what happened to your arm? Your eye?
And my arm.
So what happened to your arm?
Yeah.
All right, let's say welcome back to Son of Vista, Parvis Vitali.
Son of Vista, Robin.
And welcome back in the Son of Vista, Sherry Stevens.
Son of Vista.
And welcome back in the Son of Vista to a Jeff Moranis. I mean, John DeCoven.
Son of Vista.
Oh, and also, I'm a ham radio operator, www.w6rdg.com. Also, w6rdg.com over on Twitter. I'm not doing so much hamming anymore. But you know what's interesting is I was doing a little... I was communicating with Boyana this last week about the show, and her background is she's a journalism student, as I mentioned, at Sophia University. And I said she was a little surprised that I knew a little bit anything. First of all, she was very surprised that we played the Bulgarian national anthem last week. That was apparently blew her mind,
right.
Which was a nice thing. But that I knew anything about it. I said, you know, before I was a ham radio operator, when I was a kid, I was a shortwave listener. Do you remember that as a hobby?
Shortwave?
Yeah, shortwave listener. Oh. I mean, that's like that's probably like that's like dialing a phone. It probably makes no sense to people. But before there was the before there was the internet, right? There was you know, when you wanted to find out what was happening in other countries, there were shortwave broadcasting stations. They were not AM, they were not FM, they were on frequencies that were higher than AM but lower than FM, and you had the Voice of America. Right, and you had Radio Moscow, and you know, Radio Havana, and Radio Sofia, and you know, the BBC, right, had a world service, and so you could tune in on a shortwave radio, and you could listen to music and talk programs, and I was fascinated by this. I had a big wire in the backyard, and I, you know, hooked it up to this old Hallicrafters radio that I had gotten, and listened to faraway stations, and then what you would do is you would send them a postcard. And you would tell them that you heard them. You would write them on an aerogram. Do you even know what that?
No.
That was before. So airmail was very expensive. So they had these pre-folded pieces of tissue paper, right?
Yeah.
Called aerograms that you could buy for like 20 cents. And you could write all over them, and you kind of paste them up, and all of the international postal units agreed that they would like accept this as first-class mail in their country. And so you would write an aerogram to, you know, the head engineer at Radio Sofia saying, at this time, you know, in GMT, Greenwich Mean Time, you know, at 2300 GMT, I listened to 15 minutes of Radio Sofia. It started off with the news at the top of the hour, and then there was a report about agriculture and the latest crop reports from the Soviet Union, and then there was this new music that was being played by the Bulgarian National Orchestra, you know, that kind of thing. And then they would send you a postcard back from Radio Sofia, which would be, you know, something really nice. And actually, the bigger broadcasters would send you all kinds of stuff. So Radio Netherlands in Hilversum, Holland, sent me a whole Learn Dutch by Mail program on these records. So I got a box of records so that I could learn how to speak Dutch. And the only thing I remember is, we dranken melk and beer, which means we drink milk and beer, which is disgusting, but Dutch. And so I had like, and this was, but this was in the Cold War, right? This was in the early 70s.
Right.
So here I was, like, on a weekly basis getting mail, not email, but mail from all of these Soviet, from Bulgaria and Albania and Romania and the Soviet Union itself and Cuba and China, Red China. And I'm sure that if I did a Freedom of Information Act, you know, someplace, there may be a little file where they were looking at why this kid was getting all of this mail from these Soviet bloc countries at that point. Anyhow, I've completely forgotten why I went down.
Boyana.
Yeah. But there was a point.
Well, you're probably going to tell her you listened to that radio
station. I did, and she was amazed that I'd even known about Radio Sofia and Sofia Bulgaria, and now I'm embarrassed because I just... Can we please play the audio? I'll play the audio of Boyana. And,
okay. Is this you talking to her?
No, no. This is her reading the report. So okay. If you have not been reading it, I think what we'll do... Well, listen to this. It's very, very sweet. Listen to how well she speaks Bulgarian, obviously, compared to... I mean, you hear somebody who's not a native English speaker, and I always think to myself, oh, they're not speaking English very well. They really, you know, how well could they possibly talk? And then you hear them speaking their native language, and you go, okay, I'm a moron because I don't speak any Bulgarian at all. All right, here we go.
Добър ден, приятели! Аз се казвам Бояна Атанасова и днес ще ви почета малко интересни неща. Отскоро започнах нова работа и имам удоволствието да ви представя моята гледна точка за епизод 70 на едно наистина забавно комедийно радио шоу. What a start, huh? This was the way I wanted to start the audio recordings of the show notes I'm writing for 3 weeks now. These were some sentences in Bulgarian, don't bother to translate them. But let's start work. Schnauzer Logic Radio Show, episode 70. This time, the show started really amazing. Robin decided to begin episode 70 of Schnauzer Logic with the Bulgarian national anthem. Well, a great surprise for me and a wonderful gesture of our host, buddy and pal. Guests at the studio were Sherry Stevens and John DeCoven. Oops, I almost forgot Jeff Maranjas, just like Robin did several times with John. On the phone, there was a talk with Sean and Jason. As Robin said, episode 70 was politics-free, so pop culture was the general topic of the show. Main role was given to Tiger Woods and the voicemail message that he sent to his lover. Everybody enjoyed commenting this strange message, while Jason made a material about it on the KNX radio show. Radio, not show. Pop culture this time meant the wedding of Chelsea Clinton, TV shows that everybody in the studio and on the phone watches, a scene from The Big Lebowski, Ivana Trump, Samuel L. Jackson, and so on. It was surprising to know how many hours Robin watches television per week. All of the guests made their comment on what they like and don't like from the list of famous shows Robin gave them. Interesting twist in this conversation was the talk about men and women in their 40s or 50s who decided to discover themselves as gays or lesbians. The main point of view that everybody shared was that people don't usually look strange on such things when they happen at that age. Sean, I'm not sure that it was actually Sean, but however, he shared his experience in writing a script for a horror movie or something like that. If we trust him, horror people are not as geeky as we think they are. He received many ideas from fans of this genre, and now he expects a good result of his hard work from the past few months. He was the one that said that there is money for such projects, so everybody wished him a good luck with it. Me too, of course. Robin was the next one who revealed news about Schnauzer Logic. He is now looking for a second virtual assistant who will help him make an application for iPhone. It is supposed to be an easy way to have access to all of the podcasts recorded under the mark of Schnauzer Logic. If everything goes right, it may help everyone who is interested to read also this kind of show notes after the show is recorded and put online. It was quite an amazing to understand that Purvis was the man who stopped a flight some years ago and Robin was helping him getting out of the trouble he had. The story is getting even more hilarious when you hear the details on episode 70 while you're reading the news posted about it here, and here you'll go to the links I've posted on the show notes. Jeff in the studio was also one of the attractions this time. Except for his sense of humor and funny way of interrupting others' conversation, he told a strange story that happened to him not long ago. There were pajamas, handcuffs, and police involved, but if you want to know the details, just check episode 70 online. And that was all. Actually, not all, but almost everything interesting that happened in Schnauzer Logic Radio Show episode 70. Until next time, show up, pay attention, tell the truth and don't be attached to the outcome. Аз съм Бояна Атанасова и ми беше много приятно да ви запозная с моите истории.
Wow, that is awesome!
I don't know, I felt like I was on It's a Small World in Disneyland.
Did you listen to last week's episode?
Yeah.
Oh, so you heard we were talking about the incident.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 8-year-old incident right. That's been talked about a million times. I love how there's nothing else to talk about.
Well, no, it was a way to set up Jeff's bit.
Right. Hey, but one thing that she said that's interesting is she talks about how much TV you watch.
Yes.
Why is it such a stigma of how much TV people watch?
Well, actually, Robin
watches
said,
a lot.
But no, but why is that? What's a lot?
40 hours.
43 hours.
A full-time job.
It's like a full-time job.
But seriously, a lot of people watch a lot of TV. But why? I mean, why is it a big deal?
Well, because Robin made it a big deal on the show.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. I don't
well,
feel like
if it was 40 hours of cocaine, I can understand. But it's TV. It's harmless.
Well, I think it's like saying it's masturbating. It's harmless. But if you knew that you were doing it 40 hours a week.
Or certainly if you told somebody you were doing it 40 hours a week.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Exactly.
A lot of people watch a lot of TV. I don't see the
you
big
You want to talk about your eye again?
No.
I watch.
You had some notes there. You were.
Yeah, I got notes. I was very impressed with, she said, Duchovny.
Yes.
And Lebowski.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Well, Lebowski is a Slavic name.
Well,
so.
No, that's true. I found it interesting that she refers to you as he and him.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, she's never met me. She doesn't
know
the story, backstory.
No, well, you don't need to know the backstory.
No, but I mean, if you only tuned into the show for the very first time and the only experience you had was the audio, why would you assume anything other?
I don't know, because it says Robin Diane Goldstein?
Yeah, but no? That could be okay. A family name.
All right. That's all I got. Besides the fact that I know it's going to be a very sexist comment, but I love the accent.
Well,
it sounds
agree.
Sexy. You know?
Yeah. I think she's got a beautiful voice, and
I love
her accent.
Yeah, she's great.
And her English is good.
Her English is very good. Her English is very good. It frequently embarrasses me to speak to someone who or listen to someone speak who is not a native English speaker and realize just how facile they are in our language when most of us struggle.
So that's what you think about when you talk to Gerard?
With our language.
Gerard!
Well, you know,
I'm Gerard.
No, I don't.
God.
But everybody else.
My lovely ex-wife, who is Persian, uh-huh. Iranian, for those of you who don't know, spoke perfect. She moved here when she was 12, but she spoke, or I'm assuming she still does, perfect English.
You think that when it was only a matter of being a man?
Perfect. She spoke perfect English, and when I used to explain this to people, I'd say, no, she speaks perfect English. She does not speak 7-Eleven English.
Hmm. Maybe you should have said she spoke perfect divorce.
Fun jokes.
Yeah, trying to be serious. Fuck it.
Fun jokes. Do you have any contact with her?
Oh, no. Is she
in the States still, or did she go back to...
She won't go back. She's Jewish.
12-year-old is fairly old. She didn't have an accent?
No, that's what I'm saying. Perfect English. Hmm. She spoke fluent French. And we got into a real big fight because...
That's weird.
That wasn't weird, but I told her she should go work for the FBI after 9/11. They were paying people $70 an hour to be translators.
Right.
And
actually, you didn't have to tell her. You could have just emailed your friend that she should do that.
You know what's funny about that joke? It made no sense, but your delivery was great.
It did make sense.
No, it didn't.
That should be Bunjo's tagline. It makes no sense, but the delivery is great.
It makes sense. It's a story about your friend with the FBI listening to the email and then coming. So instead of having to apply for it, you just write to somebody else about it, and then they'll read it. There's logic.
It's like the joke I have about her. It was actually one of the first jokes I wrote when I went to
the SFCC, car bomb.
Where I said, you know, she's Jewish, and I think she's confused because one day I caught her putting a pipe bomb under her own car. It actually doesn't make sense because Iranians don't pipe bomb. It's the Palestinians, so it's not a true.
Yeah.
What do Iranians do? Iranians, actually.
Well, they do that sound that Parviz is good with.
Good.
How do you do that? You do it good.
Good.
Yes.
That one?
Give us a little.
Good.
No.
If John does it, it's more like, la, 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 la.
No, if John says it, it's like, la, 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 la.
All right.
I want to get to my dead people.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
All right, we'll play another tune. We'll come back on the other side. And dead people, how about that?
He's yeah. been talking about this. We probably need extra segment for his dead people.
That's fine.
No,
that's
it'll
fine.
Go quick.
We'll dig into it. We're good.
It's
all right.
Just like death. Thank you, John.
Rod Stewart's been all over the place. We got a little... He's got a new album of standards out.
Awesome.
He's not dead yet?
No. Did you see him touch Conan's balls?
No.
It's been all over the news. And I saw it.
How
it was
could
great.
How could I have missed it?
He reached over and he squeezed his cuckoo. And Conan's like, what the fuck? And, you know, he's that way. Rod's crazy. I think that's why his hair is spiky.
He's crazy.
Yeah, he's a spiky dude.
Crazy.
I love Rod
Stewart.
Say
something more about Boyana? Because you had started to say something when John was talking. I just noticed.
But, but thank you, Boyana. Those were wonderful
that
show
was
notes.
Great.
Very entertaining.
That was outstanding.
Loved listening to that.
So, I think that I'm going to ask her for future weeks to do like a little news report. Like, I want anything that's interesting to her. You know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes about something that's interesting to her. So we'll learn
a
little bit about.
We can have a Boyana segment.
We'll have a Boyana segment. She'll be our correspondent. I mean, she can read, but it's nice to hear her read, but I realize that like, we're wasting that talent. She's got too much talent to just be reading her stuff.
It would be fun to hear stories that happen over there that she thinks is funny.
From so far away. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Like how much bread costs. And stuff like that.
Yes, that's what we want to hear about.
That's funny. Hear about
how much bread costs?
Right. How long you wait in line for bread? Stuff like that.
Yes. Yes.
What? This isn't the 1980s.
No, but he thinks that she's out there looking for moose and squirrel. I mean,
darling.
Her boyfriend's name is Boris. I mean, come on.
A long cigarette
and a pointy hat.
And he's very short.
This probably makes no sense to her. Look up, Boyana, look up Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Actually, did she get the links on her own, or did you give
no,
her
No, I sent her the links.
Okay.
And a lot of those links go to sites that I found because they keep pulling stuff off the YouTube, so I actually ripped some stuff and put them up there.
Yeah,
because
so, that was yeah, the Samuel great L. Jackson.
Yeah,
that was some Japanese site.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually Iranian, I think, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right. Take a break. Little Rod Stewart back on the other side with dead people. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. For Robin Goldstein, John Duchovin, Cherry Stevens, Parviz Vitali, all inviting you to please stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic. My desire.
Logic Worldwide.
Jettis is the clue, he was 12 years old. Fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia, 14 years old. He looked like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine.
Welcome back. We're 38 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal. Straight white blues, vegetarian, ladies, beach, running, running, trapped in body, recovering, transsexual woman, pound, attorney, possessor, your master, eating, trips, play, putting, I'm not dead.
That's awesome. People who die.
Little Jim Carroll band.
Oh, that's cool.
From the 80s. What are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, just,
you getting your eyes ready?
Just fixing my mascara.
All right. Welcome back. So, you don't know this song?
No, I don't. But it's perfect.
I have to tell you, I'm so proud of myself. I found that song during the break, downloaded it from a website, converted it, brought it over here.
And matter
boom,
of a minute.
Baby, boom. Boom.
The no most edits.
The most entertainment 800 people ever had.
It's like if we can go 20 shows without an edit, you get a prize. And
we're very
no
close
edit.
To 1,000 listeners a week again.
Is that right?
Very close to 1,000 listeners. It's very, very nice. The one thing that happens is the show's goodness is kind of a lagging indicator. So, like, if a show sucks, the next week fewer people will listen to it because they figure, like, oh, it kind of sucked. And then the next week, like, the show is good, but, like, you get fewer downloads because the week before people are like, well, that's really sucked. So they don't hang around necessarily. Huh. So, I mean, not the core. The core listeners are definitely there with us, but the people who are stumbling along to it. Yeah, the people who are stumbling along to it. So we should probably give you a little theme if you're going to be doing your segment here, all right? Here we go. What?
I'm looking for dead theme, like the Munsters or something.
Oh.
And it's really low. And then
we have this.
Begins to fall.
There it is. That's. It's dead people.
I like the dead people song in the background. Better.
We'll give you
this
your theme
nice.
Too. Hold
this
on.
This is nice.
Yeah. Because I know you love this. And we got this one too.
Saw a bear, comb his hair, whoopa 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 whoopa. Saw a bear, comb his hair, whoopa whoopa John. Saw a bear, comb his hair in the middle of the air.
Oh, Burl Ives, what happened to you?
He's dead.
I think Marvis might die if we don't get to
all right, here we go.
Wait, 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 wait. John, you're not supporting me on this segment?
No, I think it's a good segment.
That's his enthusiastic voice.
I just won the lottery.
Okay, that was great. Now give me sad. Okay, now give me excited.
I just won the lottery.
All right, so Entertainment Weekly. Here we go.
Entertainment Weekly came out with their people who in the entertainment world that died in the year 2009, and
even
I would like
the
to,
year's not over yet.
That is correct. Which is incidentally, don't worry, it'll be.
There's another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll be edited out.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. But incidentally, people tend to die. Like somebody great's gonna die before the end of this year. It always happens. Like the last day of the year or a week before somebody dies. But anyway, let's get
on that good year. Myself.
Yeah, so it could happen. So let's go over the list. I'm going to go over everybody that's on this, and I would like to talk about who they are.
You're going
to
go over everybody.
Everybody.
That's on that list.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Yeah, because right, I don't know everybody, so it'll go quick.
Go get, grab your cocoa. I don't have to log on the fire because we're going to be here for a long fucking time. How does that make you feel, John?
I have to leave in an hour.
All right, let me get right to it then.
Here we go.
I'm the last thing you're going to hear when you leave. Is that sad?
Beautiful.
All right, John Hughes died this year.
Yeah.
John Hughes, I can
explain
care less.
Explain who he is.
Okay, he is a director.
Everybody knows who,
All right, he's a director of the 1980 classic films like 16 Candles, The Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Chinatown.
Some other movies.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah, that was an awesome movie.
I didn't know he was involved in that until he died.
Oh, about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
He also wrote the screenplay for National Lampoon Vacation.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Instrumental to huge.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't mean to.
I just want to compound on what you're saying.
He's dead.
Yes, he's dead. But he died. The last few years, he was doing nothing, right? I think he wrote a book. I'm not positive, but he was in a farm, I believe. So when he died and he came up, once again, I didn't... All right, he's dead. That's great. But it reminds you of the great work that he did. And it was very instrumental in my life because I grew up loving these movies, 16 Candles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So that was nice. That's John Hughes. The next one that's on this list.
Are we gonna have any discussion about this?
No, it's just the Barbies.
Barbies Express.
No. I would love any feedback.
Well, my feedback is...
We're the same age, right, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was...
I'm a little.
He touched you.
It's a little disturbing to hear you like 16 Candles, but besides that, he actually, if it wasn't for him,
there would be no American Pie.
People would not be comparing me to Ben Stein because that Ferris Bueller's Day Off made really put Ben Stein on the map.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
No, that's true.
But you're distracting him from his...
No.
He's building up a head of steam here.
Yeah, okay. Right. So the next one I have on here is Farrah Fawcett. Farrah Fawcett died over the summer. She was huge in my life. I thought she was the first crush.
No pun intended. See, huge because yeah. You get hard. But anyway,
oh, wow.
No pun recognized.
All right. I've done that a few times.
No pun existed. No pun recognized.
So Farrah Fawcett was big in my life because I had a huge crush on her. When I think I was 6 and 7, I had the classic poster. Next one. Oh, go ahead.
So, I just want you to know.
We're not gonna
talk about it.
This is your segment.
I would love feedback.
Yeah, if you want.
All right, we need a sign. You want a hand raise? We can give out sound makers. Yeah, Sherry's got a card on her.
I'm getting dizzy.
Well, the interesting thing with Farrah Fawcett is if you want to be honest about it, she was famous because teenage boys put a poster up and masturbated to her. That's
now, John, whose window are you looking through? I mean, come on. Right.
I mean,
she was huge.
Yeah, but for what reason?
She was a Marilyn Monroe of the 70s.
Well, I don't know that that's true. What film did she do that?
Yeah,
I
mean, she did no films. She was like Suzanne Summers of Three's Company. There was like they were in there for a little while, but they had a huge impact. She was one season of Charlie's Angels. She had a huge impact. Chevy Chase, one season of Saturday Night Live, huge impact. She had a huge impact on pop culture,
cultural phenomenon.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and Marilyn Monroe made one good movie out of five.
I think she made a lot of good movies.
Oh, she made a lot of great movies.
Did she?
Yep.
Yeah, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Okay, and we're shocked why I don't want you to interrupt. Okay, the next one.
I had a Faradoo.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't it? Well.
Yes, we all did.
That's actually true.
Yes, we all had Faradoos.
And... coincidentally, I had little boy boobs just like her.
Is that the most sold poster of all time?
Most sold poster on a whim. The guy who took the photo, it was the last photo he took of her in many different poses.
Right.
And that was the one he kept.
That's the bathing suit?
Behind the Mexican Pontenche.
Full-piece bathing suit.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it was like a racing kind of thing. We can look it up
if you want.
Yeah.
Walter Cronkite.
Right, tank.
Walter Cronkite.
I think Parviz is worried he's not going to get through every day.
It's okay.
Well, okay, we do have time because John's pushing me.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
As long as you want.
Why don't we just let you run with it?
No, but I want you to chime in. I'm interested to see what you have to say.
Oh, then.
Okay, but I can't say it with all these interruptions. All right. Okay, Walter Cronkite died. Not a big deal to me. Okay, the next one.
When do we get to chime in?
Next week. Next week.
No, I want to hear. How did Walter Cronkite affect your life?
It's a multi-part show.
He, you know, really didn't. I mean...
Thanks a lot.
I loved Walter Cronkite.
I mean...
What did you love about him? Exactly.
That's the news, and what was it? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. No.
That was Chevy Chase.
That was Tiger Woods.
No, what was it that he said when he signed
And that's
off?
The way it
and
is.
That's the way it is.
Walter Cronkite was really, I think you could argue, the last of a generation of newsmen when the news media was... Walter Cronkite was referred to as the most trusted man in America. That mm-hmm. was what people referred to as Walter Cronkite. He was the most trusted man in America. He had this avuncular style. He sat down every night in 23 minutes. He told you what was happening in the world, and people across the United States would sit down and watch and listen to what he said. The argument can be made that he helped to bring the end to the war in Vietnam. Walter Cronkite went over to Vietnam personally, right, because he had been a combat reporter during World War II in the UK and the European field of battle. So he was already an older guy by the time he got back and was doing the evening news on CBS with Walter Cronkite. And Cronkite went over to the war, to the front, basically, when reporters were allowed to go to the front, and reported from the front and came back and said on the nightly news, "I've been to the front. We can't win this thing. This is not a winnable war. This is a mistake. We should not be over there." That's effectively what he said. And that was the beginning of the end of America's involvement in the Vietnam War. The public's attitude turned around immediately because Walter Cronkite said
so.
Walter Cronkite said, "I've been there. I've seen it. You know what? We can't win this. This is not where we should be." And people are like, "Well, fuck, if Cronkite thinks this is a mistake, how the hell, why are we staying there?" And I think you could argue that there is no one that has come after him. Certainly not the press of today, whether it's print journalism or television, radio, cable. There's no one on any channel that has the
credibility.
Power, the credibility, the gravitas of Cronkite. I mean, I think he was unique and the end of a generation that was, you know, people like John Chancellor and Chet Huntley and David Brinkley and before that
Peter Jennings.
I think Jennings possibly you could argue was sort of at the tail end of that. Jennings mm-hmm. obviously came after, but you could argue Jennings was at the tail end of that. Edward R. Murrow, who's I was thinking about, but and maybe Eric Severide. I mean, that was all of that generation. These were people that started off as wire reporters, right? So they mm-hmm. basically did wire copy reporters, and then they reported for the UPI, the AP and the UPI, and they did news stuff on radio, and then they moved into television. So they had these strong backgrounds as journalists. Unlike anyone pretty much that you see, I mean, I'm not going to say Fox, MSNBC, CNN, any of the networks, I mean, they're all hairdos.
Right.
Even the good ones are just good hairdos.
Well, it sounds like Walter Cronkite was the first and only true iconic newscaster, because after him, which he just died this year, we're saturated by 24-hour news that there's nobody lasting on ABC, NBC, CBS, nightly news.
I think that's right.
So after he just passed away, we've already been
I don't know. I don't introduced. Think you're giving Katie Couric enough credit.
One question that people had was why CBS didn't use him more. Right? I mean, here he was kind of eminence grise, right, of CBS, kind of the old gray-haired, you know, distinguished, you know, professor. And they let him out to pasture, I think because they felt like he was too old.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was too old, and you're coming up with younger, hipper, good-looking people, and people are fickle.
You don't think there was a way to mix him into the...
I can't believe people even watch the evening news anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, but that's why Katie Couric is doing poorly.
Right?
Apparently.
Yeah, huge numbers. I mean, more people watch the evening news with any of the three anchors than watch the Anderson Cooper 365,
yeah,
whatever the I don't know.
All right, next up we have Don.
No, you gotta give him his due. On our 2009 dead list.
You gotta give him his due. He let me basically blow
the knew Robin would be the voice of reason.
Five minutes you let me just kind of blow shit out my ass, so I apologize.
No, that was good. It's very important. He was very important. Dom DeLuise is the next up who died this year.
I got nothing about him.
Okay.
We can go.
No. Dom DeLuise, I never saw Cannonball Run or any of those movies, but the movies that he was in with Mel Gibson or Mel Brooks, I did thoroughly enjoy. And Dom DeLuise was funny to me for about a second.
Mad okay, Minsky? Next. What movies was he in with Mel Gibson?
Oh, the Hardware Wars.
Okay.
Actually, no. World
Baseball?
Wars. Yeah. Oh, okay. Good stuff. All right. Soupy Sales.
Oh!
I knew that would tug at your heart.
Milton Suppman.
All right. You can go for it because
I got nothing.
Okay, good.
We've
me
already
neither.
Talked about
no, no, we ha-
we
did
talked
talk
about
I know.
Him
a few weeks ago. Yeah,
I know,
we missed
but Soupy Sales is on there. That's cute. Okay, B. Arthur. This one, I got to say, to me, growing up, I loved Golden Girls. I know that's gay, John. Go for it. Let me hear a gay joke.
16 Candles.
Yeah.
Girls.
Yeah, there's something going on there.
Okay. So, B. Arthur, I didn't know. I thought she was dead,
maybe
quite frankly.
Maude, I would understand. But.
Or All in the Family or something. But.
Oh, Maude, but okay.
I think she started, though, on All in the Family.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She was Edith's, Edith's cousin or something like that.
Yeah,
she was related to Edith.
She was the handyman.
No. No.
Oh, you're believe me. Of, she was
you're thinking of Schneider.
No. So, B. Arthur died, which I thought she's was already dead. I just got to say, Betty White, Rue McCallahan, they're on the edge. But Betty White's still hilarious. I love her.
Betty White saw, is freaking funny.
She was funny in the proposal. Rue McCallahan, I'm sorry, just got out of the hospital.
I saw Betty White come down a fireman's pole.
Whoa.
For some talk show. Maybe, I can't remember what it was.
And she did
it. But she did it. She grabbed onto that thing and she flew down that thing and landed. And
yeah.
That was it.
She was great. The writing.
Something.
The Golden Girls writing. It was funny to me. And the writing, I look at it now and the repeats is still hilarious. They're like the Beatles. We lost two. We got two more to go. Okay.
How many more do you have on the...
Oh, no, it's quickly.
No, what number do you on the list?
I don't
He's
know.
He's only on page seven.
No, that's okay, but what number are you on? Okay.
They don't have a number.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's really short, though.
No, that's fine. I'm not trying to rush you.
It sounds like
no,
it.
No, I'm thinking, well, if we're like halfway through the list,
sure.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and finish the list. That's what I'm saying. I'll give you another segment. I'm just...
Whenever you want.
No. So...
I don't know how many are left.
How many do you have? Well, you can count, can't you?
I know, but I'm wasting time. I think, like, honestly, like 15 more.
Okay, so do a couple more there.
Okay, Les Paul died this year.
Now
that was tragic.
Yeah. Well, not tragic. He was
not tragic. I mean, the guy.
He was 112, right?
He was 92 or
yeah,
three.
Yeah, he had an awesome life.
And I'll have another one of these stories of no interest that I will tell. I was in New York in August.
You met him?
No. He plays at this bar in New York every Monday, and we could not make it. And he died 2 weeks later.
And that's the incredible thing. That's the incredible thing. At 96, he died, or 94?
Yeah, it's somewhere
okay.
in that range.
He was still playing.
Exactly.
That guy is like that guy who's really into exercise, that little short old
Jack
guy.
Jack Lane.
Yeah! That guy's still going. Good for him.
He's going strong.
How do you keep track of people in your mind?
I don't know.
Because there's no names associated with anyone.
I know.
How do you keep track of people?
Because they look like him.
In your head, it's obviously not alphabetically.
Not at all. All right, here we go. David Lloyd. Veteran sitcom writer. Never heard of him. I'm sorry, he's dead. David Lloyd.
It lists his credits there. He was responsible.
Tyler Moore, Mary Tyler Moore, Taxi, Cheers, Frasier.
Right.
Oh, really good show.
Brought Us Chuckles, The Clown, Funeral.
Yeah, you know all of this. You know his work.
Yeah, but I didn't know his name.
He was busy watching The Golden Girls.
All right, next
Thank you for being a friend.
You don't even have to count them as one of the ones because that was quick.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Right,
he's a gimme. David Lloyd is a gimme.
All right, author Frank McCourt. Frank McCourt, author.
No,
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, Angela's Ashes, right?
Angela's Ashes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was about his childhood.
Right, famous Irish writer.
And that was horrible conditions.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, which is interesting, which is a shock to me, was Ron Silver. Ron Silver was an actor, activist, and he died young.
Let me see his picture.
50-some-odd years old.
Right. Okay. He died young.
He was on the West Wing. West Wing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is a shock because I don't really know his work and care about it. But the fact that he died young was sad.
You see him.
Yeah. Ed McMahon.
Like how you throw the editor. I understand that you don't know somebody's work. The fact that you don't care about their work. That's what's so powerful. That's what's so powerful. But you said that.
I did.
No, I'm not going to care about him.
Like, move on.
Did you
that's
say that because it's necessary to make it a balanced phrase?
I'm just trying to get everybody in. All right, so next up we have Ed McMahon.
Oh, what can you say about him?
Let me tell you about Ed McMahon.
Yes.
The only thing growing up that I saw of Ed McMahon was Star Search. I used to watch that every Sunday.
Heard of Johnny Carson.
No. I was into Johnny Carson later, like in the 90s and stuff like that. Early 90s.
When
the VHS tapes came out.
No. He stopped doing the show in 94, I believe, or 93. But I was watching it.
What are you talking
Jay
about?
Jay Leno took over in 93, right?
Yeah, but Ed was with him to the very end.
I understand. Right. I'm telling you that I've seen a few of the Tonight Show episodes. But Ed McMahon, we're talking about Ed, not Johnny, was a... Nonsense blabber. Sherry's looking at me like, slow down and take a breath, dude.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Ed McMahon was part of Star Search. I saw Star Search, so I knew Ed McMahon that way. Now, later on in his life...
with he was on America's Funniest Home Videos. No.
Yeah, it was jokes and practical jokes with Dick Clark, right? Hey, John, yeah. Deadpool, Dick Clark's next.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
America's chickens!
Is this Ed McMahon?
Coming home to roost.
Here's Johnny. So, Ed McMahon. Okay, what do you guys have to say about Ed McMahon?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was, you know, whatever. I mean, what do you say about the guy? He didn't influence anything in my life except he introduced me to gold in his last year of life.
I thought that was Glenn Beck.
He was hawking gold, and he had a lot of financial problems.
Yes, he did, and he had a cast on his arm.
How many more dead people do you have?
About half.
We're going to take a break here. So.
Yeah.
Because
maybe a few people will die during the break that we can talk about.
Because I need some Thorazine or something. Because I...
You know, we got some more. It's
okay,
good
we're
stuff.
Fine. We're
Believe
fine.
Me, we're not... there's no way we're stopping you.
It's 5:15.
Yeah, there's no way we're stopping you.
Oh,
no, I was
going
to say that I think Ed McMahon's contribution to the original Tonight Show is frequently overlooked and undervalued. I think he was an integral part to the success of that show because
definitely
Johnny needed kind of his Falstaff character, you know, like the court jester, the buffoon, the kind of you know, he needed someone that so that Johnny could kind of be the Midwest cool.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny was that Midwest cool, and Ed was if you watch those shows, Ed's timing was fucking spot on. I mean, he was so perfect at that, and it's so hard to do that well. And I think that Andy Richter has picked up that mantle and is doing it for Conan now.
Well, I was going to say that
Andy sucks.
Fuck you. Get out. You're out of here.
Andy sucks.
We'll just spend more.
All right, let's.
You would know this because Robin is a historian, if nothing else. That Johnny Carson, nobody else tried that formula, I believe, until Conan when he first came on and had Andy Richter. But then they stopped that, or Andy left.
And it got better.
And then he didn't bring anybody. Like, nobody else has really tried that formula.
I don't think that's actually true.
No,
I think
David Letterman does it with Paul, and Jay Leno does it with Kevin.
But he's not a side.
Well, no, I'm
that's
talking
different.
About on the couch.
On the couch, okay. Yeah. That's I think it is different. There were some cable shows that people used that they had it. I think Pat Sajak. I don't know if Shadow Stevens was on the couch with Pat Sajak, but
no,
I think
Vanna White was on the couch with Pat Sajak.
Heyo. There you go.
I'll be here.
I still got it. I'm sorry you don't like Andy, but I would suggest to you that if you watch Conan's monologues, Andy will pull him out of the fire time and time again. I mean, it's a nice... I'm not saying that he should be an equal host. It's not like he needs to be a, you know, the co-host of the show, but I don't know. Well, listen, you're welcome to disagree.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Although
now he does not sit on the couch with Conan.
No, he doesn't.
Like he used to.
No, but he does a lot more bits and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, the bits I agree with, but the interruptions...
Okay. You watch Glee?
Never.
You watch Glee?
I watch Glee.
I want to watch Glee. I want to watch
it. We talked about it that I...
It's not on demand.
Is it good?
It's good, and... it's nothing like you're going to say, oh, and you're ragging on me for watching 16 Candles. I mean, Glee is a good show.
Well, Glee has turned out to be this multimedia phenom, right? I mean, they're selling more tunes on iTunes. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Did
Nobody
you see the last week's?
I think so.
Where they did that Jump version of Jump.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was terrific. Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll take a little break. We'll play a little music from Glee. Right, a little journey from Glee.
Oh,
come back
right.
On the other side, and we'll let you continue.
Thank you.
You got more to go, right?
So excited, yes.
We're not done.
No, we're not.
Well, we're not letting you out of here, baby.
No, we're not.
All right.
I'll be quick, John. I'll get back
no,
to you.
No, you don't have to be quick.
Thank you.
It's
That's
not
what
a
she
race.
Said.
What'd you say?
That's what she said.
You don't have to, but I, yeah, well. I need a break.
We're just letting the audience write their own jokes at this point. All right, so we'll play a little Glee. We need a little break. Maybe we'll do a little twofer here. How about a little Sammy Davis Jr.?
Okay.
A little Glee followed by a little Sammy Davis Jr. You like that?
The blind guy, yeah.
I'm liking that. Awesome. All right, you listening to Schnauzer?
Jewish.
What?
He's Jewish.
And?
Black.
And?
Crippled.
Not blind.
No. Dead.
Oh, dead.
God damn.
Didn't he walk with a limp? Wasn't he crippled?
No, he didn't walk with a limp. We're out of time. We're on the other side. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere.
Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going
Welcome back. We're 7 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer. I got the monitor on here, a little extra reverb. Welcome back. We're 7 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. It's our 71st episode being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 9th of December, 2009. My name is Robin Goldstein, blah, blah, blah. We booted Sammy Davis Jr. for you.
Thank you. Which is appropriate because the next dead person is like Sammy Davis Jr.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, let's say welcome back and okay. Sona Vista to Sherry Stevens.
Sona Vista.
And we'll say welcome back and Sona Vista to John DeCoven.
Sona Vista.
And of course, welcome back and Sona Vista to Parvis.
Son of Ista.
Jay Fatale.
Yeah. All right, so next up, we have...
Next up on the dead list.
Are you okay?
Yeah, 2009.
The microphone, just you lost your mic there.
Yeah, it's a good thing it's got padding.
Okay.
The next thing, next person on this list, I was genuinely shocked when this person died in 2009. Although I've never seen this person perform, I was shocked. Because another young person died. This is Danny Gans, the magician.
Best performer.
Oh, okay. Yes. Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was genuinely shocking.
A man of 1,000 voices.
Yeah,
they silenced. All sounded the same. They all sounded the same.
That's why I said it's
wasn't
like
he
salmon.
Like the number one entertainer in Vegas?
Yes,
he was.
Yes,
according
he was.
To Danny Gans magazine.
which is interesting that he's probably not known worldwide,
but he's known in Vegas,
which is all that's important.
And how did he die?
Heart stopped beating.
Gans died of accidental prescription drug toxicity.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting.
Which means...
Is that going to lead us into...
Which means he probably was doing drugs.
Which, I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. No, I think whatever drugs he was taking, yeah. He obviously picked the wrong hand.
What was...
Does anybody... Let me turn Parvis's mic here. Okay. Does anybody?
On. No,
Come he's
on.
A. Does anybody know what he's? Why he's laughing?
No. Absolutely
oh,
not.
Okay. I have no idea.
I'll turn it back on again. I just want to make sure that, okay. Like, because I have no idea why he's laughing. He's laughing like a hyena. Okay, you're
you
back
why.
On. Here we
I
go.
Will tell you
there
why I'm laughing.
Okay, you're back.
Here's my magic trick. Pick a hand.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
He picked the wrong hand.
That was good.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting us know that. I feel better now.
Okay, once again, he's still, now you get it, or are you just kind of appeasing him because he looks like he may be...
Now I'm trying to think
of
all these people
now.
That died and going to see if they're on the list.
Did anybody check him to see whether he has confetti in his pockets before he...
All right, 8 years old. All right, here we go. The next person, 60 Minutes Honcho, Don Hewitt. Once again, I didn't know he died. Okay, next
oh,
one.
Wait. Whoa. Didn't the other guy from 60 Minutes die, or was that
Andy
last
Rudy?
Year?
Or
no, no, no.
Andy
Ed,
still alive.
No. Ed.
Sorry, Ed.
Ed Begley Jr.? No.
Ed Begley. You know what I'm talking
Ed
about.
Ed Marinara?
No.
You Mr. Ed?
Ed Scissorhands.
You know what I'm talking about?
Edward
the black guy. The black
reporter,
guy. The black guy.
I didn't
Ed Bradley?
Say
Ed Bradley.
Ed Bradley, the black guy.
You didn't want to say the black guy. Why? You wanted us to keep guessing for 20 minutes?
You know that in Parvisa's head, that's how it's organized. It's by size order and then height. The little white guy, the tall black guy.
Right.
That's how he has him organized in his closet.
All right. The next up is Carl Malden.
Put the lotion in the basket, baby.
Carl... Wacky. All right. So Carl Malden.
Streets of San Francisco.
Streets of San Francisco, 1970s Patton. 1970s Patton with George C. Scott.
I can hear myself.
Carl Malden.
Are you not on?
Am I?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Carl Malden, anybody?
Streets of San Francisco.
Big Nose.
Great
Big
show.
Nose.
Big Nose.
American
a lot
Express.
Of blackhead.
What?
A lot of
next?
Blackhead. All right. Oh, you're not into this one.
I'm not into this
one. All right. All right. All right. We'll go on next. E. Lynn Harris, novelist.
Next.
Yeah, thank you. Ricardo Montalban.
Oh.
Oh, did he die?
Yeah, poor guy died. Ricardo Montalban. So he's there up with Tutu.
Yeah.
With
and
who?
Tutu. Is it Tutu? Seriously. Who is it? You know what I'm talking about.
It's
the
not
non-black
Tutu,
guy.
But
he's
I
short and white. It is Tutu, right?
No. I can't think of
it. Well,
is,
then if you can't think
Tutu.
Of it, it's Tutu, right?
It's not Tutu.
Who is it?
I can't remember.
Nobody can remember
Shabu.
The name.
I remember.
What is it?
Funnier than Tutu.
Who is it?
Are you saying it with T's at the end? Or
I don't know.
Tattoo. Played by Hervé Villechaize.
Yes. He was actually South American.
Yes, but he did Tutu.
He did Tutu. All right. This next one, I don't get it, but all right. The next one wasn't a shock, but certainly sad, because once again, this guy was young.
God damn.
Are you, by the way, our dramatic effect, are you leaving Michael Jackson for last?
Yeah, thanks,
okay.
John.
Okay.
The next one is Patrick Swayze.
Oh, okay, yeah. And
right?
that actually has a personal... See, I want to try not to joke on this because seriously, because he died what my dad died from, which was pancreatic cancer.
As okay. did my mom.
How old was your father?
She loved Patrick Swayze.
How old was your father? Your father, how old was he?
He was 57.
Wow, no kidding. Patrick was probably close to 57,
yeah,
too.
And that's like the worst cancer. It's a death sentence. Oh. There's no
cure. And it's funny because when they found it, immediately they said you had like 6 months. I mean, they know.
Right.
No, it's nothing funny about how they died. It's just funny.
No. But I just wanted to make that comment without trying to make it a joke.
Okay. So we're good on Patrick Swayze?
Yeah, we're good. You can check him off. For those of you keeping score in the audience, you can put a check next to Patrick Swayze.
Are we giving Patrick any kind of like thoughts and prayers?
Yeah, thoughts and prayers after Patrick Swayze.
I mean, that's a terrible way to... It's a terrible way to die. I mean, it's...
It's painful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's painful.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear about your father.
I have to say, just from personal experience, with my mom, she had pancreatic cancer, and she, they were very good at managing her pain. It's very painful, but once they start to manage the pain, she was very comfortable. So we had nice last moments.
Good. Okay.
Good.
It's impossible to segue out of that. I mean,
goddamn death notice. We got the fucking Casey Kasem over here. All right. And coming up now, a little dead dog.
Okay.
Oh, crap. I swear I'm getting dizzy.
Boyana will need to put a link to the Casey Kasem little dog death notice. Just a little note for Boyana.
All right. Okay. This next person that died, I recently started watching their show and loved it. Mm-hmm. And when this person died, I wasn't surprised or shocked. I was just sad. Dominic Dunn.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. I love his shows. I love his canter. I love his or banter.
Is this another...
Canter. Let it go. Please.
Oh, actually, I don't want to talk about it. He was the guy on some fashion show.
No. Dominic Dunn's daughter died of Poltergeist. Remember the daughter in Poltergeist? That was
his
daughter.
She didn't die of Poltergeist.
Dominic Dunn was a lawyer.
No, his daughter died of a brutal murder.
He was a lawyer. He wrote about crime.
Correct.
His son is the actor Griffin Dunn.
Oh, I love him.
You have no idea.
Not at all. But the daughter died, which is very sad. Okay. She was the daughter in Poltergeist. The brunette, not the blonde. All right.
Okay, next.
Next up is John Updike.
Okay,
Updike.
Yeah,
just how it sounds.
Well, I never said I can read.
Okay,
John Updike. He was a novelist and
most famous novel.
Most famous novel by far has got to be the Rabbit. What does it say here?
The rabbit.
Does it say rabbit? It says rabbit right there, right?
The rabbit.
I think every week we ought to have a death segment.
Yeah, can we spread this out throughout the year?
Is it called The Rabbit? All right.
Go over to Amazon.com.
Punch in The Rabbit.
The Rabbit.
All right. I didn't say I prepped for this bit. I'm just telling you who died.
You brought the magazine.
What's the name of the book that you wrote?
Oh, crap. I don't know. The Rabbit in the Run, 1960. Is that right?
No. What? You're thinking of Watership Down?
Oh, that's the one. Watership Down. Okay, the next person is...
Rabbit Run? Rabbit Redux?
Yeah!
There's nothing in the article that explains what he wrote?
It's all I see is rabbit. Sherry, do you not just see rabbit everywhere?
Let's move on.
Okay, the next one up... I'm sorry, I didn't prep. The next one up, I'm unemployed. The next one up is Mary Travers.
From?
Oh, she was a musician.
Yes, in what group? Don't help him. You're helping him. You're bad.
You're bad for helping him.
How the fuck can you not know
Peter,
who
Paul, and Mary? Come on.
Thank you.
Jesus.
God.
So, Mary.
Damn.
Oh, wait. Why are you mad? Come on.
You're a musician. That's why.
It doesn't
why.
Matter. This next one was a shock. This next one, I must admit, was a shock to hear.
Michael Jackson.
No. Natasha Richardson. Oh, come on. Natasha doesn't get time? Oh, is that Deal or No Deal?
Second episode.
I love that
you
show.
You were too much. You were just
okay,
too
Natasha
much.
Okay, Natasha Richardson. Anybody?
Skiing? No.
I feel bad.
Isn't that terrible?
Horrible accident.
She was the wife of Leo...
Liam Neeson. She was an actress.
She died in the skiing accident. She hit her head on the ice.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Remember? No helmet. Beautiful girl. Okay, Natasha Richardson. Next one, Patrick... McGowan.
Yes. Do you know what? Yes. Okay. So, do you know?
Put it this way: if you don't know who it is, there's a good chance Bulgaria doesn't either.
No,
that's
true.
The point of this whole segment is the people that I care and don't care about. That's the whole point.
Okay. And what category is he in?
I'm trying to figure it out. He was in Danger Man and The Prisoner. I never saw these shows. I don't know who he is. I'm sorry.
The Prisoner, I am not a number. I am a free man. He was number six. He created... It was the quintessential program of the 60s. About revolting against the power of the state. How could you... And
what do you mean? Wait. How could I what? Not
AMC,
know about that?
AMC just redid it badly with Jim Caviezel and what the fuck, right?
Jesus?
Yes, Jesus. They did it, redid it with Jesus. All right, I'm starting to get bored. How much more do you got here?
What do you mean bored? Come on.
As in laughing too hard.
No, I'm telling you. That's why I got to get through this quickly. Paul Harvey.
Good day.
All right. Larry.
You have no idea who he is.
No, I know who Paul Harvey
That's
is.
That's the rest of the story.
Okay, Larry Gelbert, here the creator of MASH.
I'm going to give you 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay,
to, okay here we
Larry
go.
Larry Gelbert.
And, wait. And go.
The movie composer Maurice Jarre.
Jarre.
Yeah. Army Archard.
Okay.
Okay.
Hollywood columnist.
Ellie Greenwich.
No idea.
Okay. David Carradine. Turn off the music, please. David Carradine was found with
The guy who choked himself while masturbating. That's who he wants to talk about.
That's when John speaks up. Thanks, John.
209.
So David Carradine, sad for anybody?
No.
All right. Know. Of course, Michael Jackson.
Okay, before you get to him, there's two people.
No. I got some more. Hold on.
Okay.
Michael Jackson. Anybody? Comment? Michael Jackson?
That's too long. I mean.
All right. The OxyClean guy.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I can't remember.
Yeah, nobody can. The guy with the beard.
No.
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays died.
That was very sad.
Very sad. Another young guy out of the blue.
Cocaine.
Drugs.
I know. Yeah. Well, and he had just been on that incredible show, Pitchman, right? With
ShamWow.
Yeah, on the Discovery Channel.
You got
Channel.
Anybody
I
else?
Because
I have
that.
Two people.
I've got one more. John, why are you rushing me?
Because we only have a minute left.
All right.
20 seconds.
Why are we rushing me? We never rush anybody else. All right, Ken Ober. The host of Remote Control on MTV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was big right. because I was
kind of
a
non-game show.
Yeah. He started Adam Sandler and Neil and Colin Quinn. Thanks, John.
Well, actually, I'm surprised there was two that weren't in there. There was one, and I don't know names, so don't start laughing. There was one.
God forbid we should laugh.
He was a young rapper, a white guy that was big news in New York.
I don't know.
He's Jewish. You know what I'm talking about, Robin?
Jewish, I know about
Jewish rapper.
Oh yeah,
the DJ
AM.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And then actually, I'm surprised this one wasn't in there. The actor, and I don't know his name, but supposedly one of those twins, the Olsen twins, he died. Don't you know? I'm talking about again.
Heath Ledger.
But yes.
He died a year ago,
in
January.
December. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2000. That was 2008.
Damn it.
Whoa, what the hell kind of noise was that? That's a smoker's laugh right there.
It didn't come from me.
Can we get that as a soundbite for next week?
What was that?
Mark the time.
I don't know.
That's a soundbite to have. What the hell was that?
That was
you sat on a mouse. That's what it was.
So he died in 2008.
He died, correct, 2008.
Oh, damn it. I thought I had one.
Yeah, he died a year ago. But you're right about DJ AM. AM DJ. Because he was...
DJ AM.
Whatever his name is. But he was the one that dated Nicole Richie.
Right.
And he was the one that was super fat and lost a lot of weight and also almost died in that plane crash with Travis Barker and a couple other people that did die a year ago.
And that guy was in a movie with Kevin Bacon.
And how did DJ AM die?
A drug overdose.
Okay.
Dumbass. Fuck, it pisses me off. Pisses me off that these people think that they're, you know, like that guy choking while he's choking. That guy, David Carradine. It just, you know,
well,
him
that
and
you don't expect to die from.
No, because it's, I mean, how many people do it, Robin? You know?
How do you make your
eyes? Wait, let me look it up on the internet. Hold on a second.
How many people do it but do get away with it? But Michael Hutchinson died the same way.
Who's that?
Michael had the lead singer of NXS. He was choking while he was choking.
Really?
Yes, he died the same way back in 97. And this guy died of it. So
you keep a list of people that die that way?
Autoerotic asphyxiation?
Yeah.
Ooh. Is that what you're talking about?
I believe so. I don't believe that there was a car involved, but yeah, it's all, I think, hanging in your hotel room. A lot of that stuff going on. So that's my list of 2009. I'll be back next year with a list of 2010. Signing off is Parviz Fatali. I'm Parviz Fatali. With my guest host, Brian Cox. And John DeCoven. And Jerry Stevens.
I'm surprised you're not over here every day.
Really?
Yeah.
You should be.
All right, that's it for my segment, John. You take over the rest.
No. We have...
I just felt rushed.
Well, it's interesting how you said there were a total of 15. I think if you listen back to the audio, you went through about 40 names.
And somehow you will listen back to this audio.
Oh, I will. If it's on tonight, I'll listen.
John, you are funny, though. All right, that's all I have to say.
I like how...
Thank you. Do I get closing music or anything?
But you want...
According to Ken Turetsky, I'm the funniest neocon on the planet. Did you see that little comment?
I did. That was very nice over on the Facebook Channel Logic page.
I also saw in the comments, somebody said, screw Parviz.
No.
Yeah, she said, screw Parviz.
Oh, because they like Boyana.
Why did they throw me in there? What did I do wrong?
They love you. You are beloved. Do you understand that when initially, you understand that you are this rare find?
John is a rare find.
But you, the show was me and Sean. It was February 1st, 2006.
You
it was
and Parviz?
No, it was me and Sean. Okay.
At the radio station in Santa Cruz.
And we were going to do it here February 1st, 2006. Me and Sean, at the last minute, Sean wasn't able to make it. And I called you in a pinch and I said, I'm all wrecked up to do this. I'm kind of psyched. I need someone to be second chair. And you came over and you fucking hit a home run. And you knocked it out of the park.
Be honest with me, Robin.
I couldn't get you out of here.
Honest engine.
Yes?
Ed McMahon or Andy Richter, who do I remind you of?
All right, we'll be back. Well, you're fat like Ed McMahon. But you, no.
Andy Richter, I believe.
And I noticed you didn't jump on Robin when she said then you came over. But anyways.
We'll take a break. We'll be back in
inside.
Yeah. That's a good logic. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Well, this heart of mine has been hardened like a stone. It might take some time to get back what is gone, but I'm moving on. And you don't hold my dreams like you did before. Oh, and I will curse your name. Well, I heard the news that you were back in town and just passing through to claim you're lost and found. But I'm over you, and there ain't nothing there you can say or do to take what you did back. You've got nerve to waltz right in and think what's mine is yours again. 'Cause I've been doing fine without you, forgetting all the love we once knew. Girl, I ain't the one that slammed that door. Now you see a change of thinking, but I ain't got a heart for breaking. So go and pick your bags up off my floor. Oh, 'cause love don't live here anymore. Oh, no. And try to justify everything you did. But honey, I'm no fool. Oh, and I've been down this road too many times with you. And I think it's best you go. Well, I got one thing left to say, 'cause you can lay in the bed you made. 'Cause I've been doing fine. Forgetting all the love we once knew. Girl, I ain't the one that slammed that door. Oh, sugar, no. Now you see a change of things.
more fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Ah! Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 30 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. I'm all stuffed up inside from laughing so hard in that last segment.
Verklempt?
I'm all verklempt. I am the definition of verklempt at this point. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, or over on twitter.com/schnauzerlogic, facebook.com/schnauzerlogic. I wanted to thank... we got a donation this
nice.
Last week.
Whoa.
We got a very nice donation from a listener in the land down under. I won't give your name because I don't know whether you wanted me to give your name, but it was a very nice thing for you to do. You know, if you go to the Schnauzer Logic homepage, right, at www.schnauzerlogic.com, and by the way, I know that technically www.schnauzerlogic.com then points you over to T-Blog, but the reason that I say schnauzerlogic.com is we may very well move the blog from T-Blog over to Blogger or something like that, because Blogger goes up and down every now and then, doesn't really have all the tools. T-Blog is a Google thing, which means it's easily searched, it's easily categorized, people are able to find it, and so it's a big project because you have to move over the posts one by one. So I may actually ask Boyana or somebody to do that, just kind of pay someone to basically download the text, reformat it, move it over to the blog, because I think I have schnauzerlogic.tblog.com already reserved, so there's just nothing over there. But anyhow, if you go over to the blogs, the Schnauzer Logic website, there's a little button that says donate, and I never mention it. I think at the beginning of the show, when we started doing the show, I mentioned it. And we got one donation from someone, which is very, very sweet. But I never mentioned it. And somebody found it and clicked on it and made a donation to the show. So I wanted to say thank you so very much. And, in the past I figured, well, you know, it really wasn't necessary. It is a labor of love. We do this because we love to be here. We obviously laugh so hard that it's deductible on my insurance as a medical expense. No, there's no question about it. But the economy is tough for everybody. And we've obviously incurred some expenses. I've got someone that's now, you know, helping to write the show notes. And we pay them so that we can have... you know, notes, show notes that come up within the week that have links to audio and things of that nature. So if you want to go over and make a small donation, that's fine. But what I would say to you is if you feel like you're in the mood to make a donation and you're interested in making a donation to Schnauzer Logic, I just got a letter. I believe in tithing. I don't always make it to 10%, but tithing is effectively agreeing to give 10% of your earnings to charity. It's, whether you think it's a Christian thing or a Buddhist thing or a Jewish thing or just a karmic thing to do. I got a note from a friend of mine that over the Thanksgiving holiday, the Sacred Heart Community Service in San Jose was giving out turkeys, and this year I think they had three times as many people line up for turkeys as they had in the past because of the economy and the challenges people are facing, and they had more people that needed the food and fewer donations of money and turkey, and so they ran out of their 3 days of turkeys before the end of the very first day. And a friend of mine who's a part of that ministry, that church, she sent us something on her Facebook page, and I saw it, and I thought, you know what, I can do a little something. I can't go down there with the turkey, but I can do a little something. Maybe they can go over to the supermarket and buy some more turkeys. And ultimately, the story is very sweet. They actually came through with some trucks, and people were able to donate, and everybody who wanted to eat was able to eat. The point is, if you have the ability to give anything at all, whether it's a dollar or $5 or $10, you know, there's no reason for anyone to be hungry. There are all kinds of charities that do all kinds of research and all kinds of good works, and I think if you support those, that's wonderful, but especially this time of year, the idea that anybody in this world is going hungry is just, it's such an abomination, and so I'm going to make a donation in the amount that was given to Schnauzer Logic to a food charity. There's a food bank that I... like, find your own. It can be a religious food bank. It can be a non-religious food bank. But, you know, people who are hungry are not able to take care of themselves. They're not able to think clearly. They can't rise to their full potential as human beings. And people who are hungry tend to be really angry at people who are not hungry. And I think it creates an awful lot of hatred and strife in the world. And so... I think one thing that we can all do, and I'm going to tell the president about this, to begin to end kind of the violence in the world is really just to find a way to start to fucking feed everybody. Because hungry people find ways to make their lives... hungry people can't find ways to make their lives what they want them to be. So, anyhow, that's me just kind of pontificating. I had this in my papers, and so there you go. So, feed somebody. And if you got a couple of bucks left over, www.schnauzerlaunch.com. Hey, I'm still a little bit Jew. I can do it. So, now you have another magazine there.
I do.
Right? Which we're gonna tease for next week.
It's a great one.
Okay.
This magazine that we just did today was probably what, John, you'd say 40 people I just called off that were dead? 20?
Right. Easily.
Right.
Easily.
This next one is 100 greatest movie, TV shows, song, moments, and more from the entire decade of the 2000s. Now, we are going to go over each and every one.
You know, you may be just a reduced listenership for next week.
It'll be a separate podcast, an adjunct podcast. So you'd be able to, it'd be like in a sidecar. It'd be the podcast and then like the podcast plus, like with the extras. It'll be the commentary.
Right. I swear it'll go faster.
But we do have Time Magazine right before we went on the air today. You know, they always have their Person of the Year cover, and then they have their top stories.
Who is it this year?
Well, I'm not giving it away yet because
you know?
No, I don't know. It's you.
Well, actually, you laugh, but remember it was?
I guess it was.
What was
Wasn't it supposed to be Twitter or something like that? Well, talk about yourself for a second.
Three, 4 years ago, the Person of the Year was you. And then they had like a mirror.
Cover. That was ridiculous.
Oh, God.
That was so freaking lame. Probably this year it's going to be Person of the Year. It's got to be Sarah Palin.
No.
Well, I would say.
I mean, she
cut
a year later.
Yeah, wouldn't it be Obama?
I mean, he won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, but a year later, after she was supposed to be dead and buried, she comes out and kicks butt with a book that's number one.
I know you wish she was dead and buried, but it's enough with the death already.
No, it could be Sarah Palin. It could be DJ AM. It could be any of those two.
No, not DJ AM for sure.
DJ AM should have been on The Biggest Loser. That would have been good. Speaking of people that are hungry, The Biggest Loser was yesterday, the big finale, and they're back to being hungry.
hysterical.
I have to say, it's quite amazing. That's been one of the shows that lately I've been watching. I'd never watched it before. It's amazing to see someone lose 53% of their body weight.
Right.
In 7 months, which has got to be wrong.
Wow.
No. But you got to remember, and here's the thing with that, is they are, first of all, they're not working.
Correct.
Every day.
6 hours, 12
trainers,
hours. Exercising.
I mean, that's just not realistic.
Correct.
Well, they only
people.
Do that for correct. A period of time, and then they send them home.
Exactly.
I know, but
I've
it's months.
Seen, but yeah. Some people, they've never really done after shows, and that leads me to believe a lot of those people gained the weight back.
Correct.
I missed it, but they actually did a follow-up.
They
and
do
there was
a
one
sum.
Guy, one guy, and I don't even know who it was because I didn't see it, had gained all his weight back.
Right, right. Yeah. They followed him in a buffet. Come on. I mean, nobody wrote that for me. That came out of my pee brain.
Really?
Nobody
wrote that for you.
You know, no, I just came up with that.
Robin has his top 10.
Okay. Let's see, Robin.
No, but I mean, if you got something over there, I know that you got.
No, I got to go. I want to get into this.
Well, so there are all these different top 10. So I thought this was interesting. So this was something that top 10 heroes this last year. And number one was Chesley Sullenberg. We didn't talk about him.
Hudson
top,
River
top 10 awkward moments balloon boy.
Honestly,
oh yeah,
that was
okay, there you go, we got energy.
No. Awkward, I don't know, it was more pissed off moment.
Okay, well, so here are the top 10 awkward moments and you rate them. Okay, so they said number one was balloon boy spills the beans. Uh-huh. Number two was Kanye West doesn't let Taylor Swift finish.
That's good.
The presidential beer summit.
Okay,
Artie Lang steals Joe Buck's show.
I don't even know that.
The Mark Sanford mea culpa. Ryan Seacrest regrettable.
Wait. You're being parvis. Mark Sanford mea culpa.
Sanford and Son.
Which one was that? Oh, the governor from...
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Argentina. Exactly, Argentina.
Right.
Ryan Seacrest's regrettable high five.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the blind guy. That's hilarious.
That should be number one.
Yeah, that's extremely awkward.
Okay. Yeah.
That's funny.
That should be number one.
Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah,
that was funny. That's funny.
Okay. All right. Joaquin Phoenix bombs on Letterman?
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay. Joe Jackson works the red carpet?
Joe Jackson?
Michael Jackson's dad.
Well, I'm thinking of the singer, Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Working the red
carpet.
I'm sure
most of the other people were, too.
I don't know. Okay.
And then?
Yeah, the other ones I don't know, so that's fine. This is going nowhere. No, I'm bailing. I'm pulling the ripcord. I'm at it. I'm bailing on this.
Let's go with another top 10 list.
Okay, let's see. Top 10. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll do it differently. I will give you the category, and then you tell me whether you think it's one of the top 10 things. You give me a top 10 thing, and then we'll figure out whether it's on the list here, okay? Here we go. Top 10 fleeting celebrities.
So you want, well, what does that mean?
Well, it's people that we
doesn't
think.
Matter. I've lost the second page. I've lost the second page. I have no idea what they are. Number three, dogs don't brush their teeth.
Wasn't there one, the top 10 gadgets or something we were going to talk about?
Yes, top 10 gadgets.
Okay.
So give me a gadget and I'll tell you if it's on the list.
Oh, that thing that cleans a windshield from inside your car. That thing that cleans, or Snuggies. How about Snuggies? Snuggies
That's not there? A gadget.
It has to be.
What
it
do you
has
mean?
To have electronics.
It does have to have electronics?
Well,
all right, how about the battery-powered Snuggie? Is that it on there?
Oh, obviously, iPhone has to be on the list.
Oh, God. I got
right.
nothing. Can we stop? Can we end the show now?
Yeah, let's end it. John's got to go. We're done. We're done.
Are you done?
Well, yeah, because you know what? We got 100 people here. We got to get...
I got to
gear up for next week's 100 people.
Here, I got a little quick thing then we can talk about.
We got more stuff.
You know, how do you guys feel? This happens every year, and I think a lot of people know, and if they don't, that I have no problem with Bill O'Reilly. I think he does a lot of good stuff, but there is a lot of things where I think he's just a complete idiot. And one of them is he's this whole tirade with him and the Merry Christmas at the stores.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the war on Christmas.
The war on Christmas, which he's saying
he wants people to say Merry Christmas.
He wants people to say he doesn't think a store should be allowed to tell the employees not to say Merry Christmas. Mm. Now, what I'm saying is, as a Jew, I don't particularly mind. I mean, if they say Merry Christmas, whatever, it irritates me a little, but it's not the end of the world.
My view actually changed probably in
9/11.
No, it actually changed. It actually changed in 2000. I worked with this guy who didn't celebrate Christmas, and he would tell me people come up to me and say Merry Christmas. He goes, I don't celebrate Christmas, and I thought, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't. A lot of people
7%.
Okay, so it's like, you know what? Happy Holidays kind of covers it all. It's almost like saying Happy Friday. It's almost like saying Happy Saturday.
Yeah, but I'm going to take the other side of that. I mean, if someone says to me, right, if somebody makes a comment to me, I'm not a practicing Jew. I mean, I'm culturally Jewish, but I'm not a practicing Jew, and I haven't been to temple in years, and I don't believe the tenets of the religion as a religious belief. But if somebody says something to me about, you know, Happy Jewish New Year or whatever it is, or, you know, you killed our Lord or any of those things, I don't get offended. You know?
You're like, me? Which episode? Was that?
I don't get it. I think the gracious thing to do is to say thank you. It's gracious. It's easy enough to just say thank you.
No, because, I agree. I agree.
Now, if somebody is saying Merry Christmas because they're trying to fuck with you, right? So somebody's going, Merry Christmas, you fucking Jew, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, then I'm thinking, okay, then that becomes a hostile gesture.
Yeah.
But when people say Merry Christmas in a store, that's not intended to be hostile.
No, not at all.
That's intended to be Merry Christmas.
But I'm annoyed with Christmas, not from a religious... It's just annoying. The whole. I mean, this year they had the crap out like no first week of November.
No way, even earlier. Before
you know what
Halloween.
I mean?
Yeah, Thanksgiving is gone.
Oh, totally. There's no time for brown.
No. Thanksgiving. It is. It's gone completely. I can't find the little fucking foil covered turkeys anymore for Thanksgiving because they go right from Easter to Christmas.
The Cornish hens?
No, not the Cornish hens. The little foil. What the foil? Foil wrapped Cornish hens?
Yeah, you
I
haven't seen them?
No.
Yeah, they're there. You
they
toss them
chocolate?
In the oven.
No. Chocolate.
Oh, the chocolate turkeys.
Chocolate turkeys. Didn't I say chocolate turkeys?
No, you did not.
But I knew what you
no,
were
No, you did not say chocolate turkeys.
I knew
chocolate
what you were talking
about. Hey, John, could you listen to the show again, please?
What did I say?
No, you just said the foil wrapped turkeys. But I knew what you were talking about.
Thank you.
I knew what he was talking about.
You know the people.
Oh, geez, sorry.
I apologize.
You know what I feel? I feel that guy from Down Under just canceled his check.
I apologize all
no,
over the
PayPal.
Place. I apologize. I'm sorry. You're absolutely
thank
right.
You. Thank
I
you.
Fucked
Cornish
up.
Hens, yeah.
I fucked up. I meant the chocolate foil turkeys.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Those are delicious.
But where do you get them?
At the...
Right after Easter.
Well, you just move on to the chocolate foil wrap Santas. I mean, it's the same chocolate.
Okay.
It's just in a different shape.
It's actually fresher.
So what are you doing to counteract this?
Well, that's why...
Have you written to your...
well,
to
no,
your
I don't write. That's why, seriously, and it's actually turned into a real thing. I do Festivus. Uh-huh. Every year.
All right.
And it's my third annual. I'm not plugging. I'm
not
just
much.
Saying. But I do the whole thing. I bring out the aluminum pole. We do airing of the grievances. We have a re-gifting table. We celebrate Festivus as it was intended.
And do people get into it? I mean, do they understand the history? Or do you have to go through and play part of
no,
the...
No, a lot of them... No, they come out because they understand it.
All right.
But I do
Where
have...
Where do you get your aluminum pole?
There's actually a place that's, well, you could get
you
it anyways,
one?
But there actually is a place that sells them specifically with the...
Unadorned wooden poles?
Yeah, with the stand and the whole, I think it's festivuspoles.us or something, but you could, I'm
because
sure...
Because .com you, was taken.
Right, it was!
It's a porn site.
It was! So, yeah, no, it's great, though. We have a fun time. I mean... That's what it's
but
all
I,
about.
I heard, I read, I don't know, that now...
You heard or read?
I don't know. I don't
all of his senses are messed together. Is it that woman, like, you know, the woman who thought her hat was a shoe?
Right.
B. Arthur.
Yeah.
So... No. So, more than ever, high schoolers are becoming atheists. Now more than ever. Right?
Right.
So, we're raising kids that are not believing in God. Okay.
Okay.
So more.
So what's the problem?
The problem is the more you say Merry Christmas, the more they don't think about Jesus and Christ. They think about Santa. So Happy Holidays just kind of covers it. It's a holiday. It's fun. It's a holiday. Saying Merry Christmas is assuming that everybody's Christian and they believe in God.
I disagree.
Yeah,
it doesn't. When I say Merry Christmas to people, I don't assume that they're Christian.
You think there's a sale?
No, I just
thank you, John.
Now that's a Jewish joke, isn't it? That's a Jewish joke. That's a dig at me for being a Jew.
Son of a bitch.
Anti-Semitic Persian bastard. No, but I don't assume because most people consider it to be a secular greeting at this point. It's no longer has a religious connotation. Certainly not in this country. It does not have a religious connotation.
I agree.
Right? It
yeah.
has a
It's like saying how are you when you're doing stand up. Nobody cares.
Exactly.
You don't give a shit. You just right.
Perfect. Yeah. Brilliant.
So when you say, when you give him back your change and a Merry Christmas, you're actually counting your change. Make sure that fucker didn't short you. You're not thinking of Merry Christmas. You're thinking, wait, 17, 18. Okay, you gave me. Yeah. Have a nice day. You know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Anybody?
I do. I do.
That's what's depressing.
I know what you're saying.
But what I'm saying is. If you go with Happy Holidays, and I sign all my emails and everything, I'll just put Happy Holidays, you know you're not going to offend anybody.
Correct.
You
Correct.
Know?
Well, so, I think Robin's point is that you're not. Most people are not offended when you say Merry Christmas.
So then say Happy Holidays.
It's not offensive.
Well, obviously, the retail stores, and they're very smart. I mean, they're not stupid. They figure all this shit out. A lot of them have figured out that customers are offended. That's why they
the Jewish customers,
right, who are probably spending more, even though
Jews have the money.
Yeah, we control the media. I mean, come on,
the cabal of the bankers,
you know,
the Bilderberg Society,
I mean,
dollar stores.
You know, we knew about 9/11 before it was going to happen.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
You know,
yeah. Okay,
so we don't want to hear it.
This part will be edited. I'm just saying. Some things are better left unheard. So if you have any N-words you want to throw around, now would be the time to do
it. Can I say a racial joke? And we can edit this part out?
Sure.
All right. What starts with the letter?
Okay, now I'm going to really have to edit that out.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I wasn't going to really edit it.
Well, oh, you can bleep me. You should. We're definitely going to offend somebody. Yeah. That was terrible.
Now I have to. Now I have to.
Mark the time.
Now I have to. No, I don't need to mark the time.
Oh, you can see where the needle falls?
I can see where my spirit falls.
Well, you think Robin was serious? About the editing, so...
Yeah, because I assumed that you wouldn't say anything that would be...
I just asked you if I could say a racial joke.
I know, but I don't even know that you knew what a racial joke was. All right. John's got to go. Because yes. It's a little bit after 6 here.
Take
in real
care,
time.
John.
Yeah, but you can continue on.
We are. We're going to do one more segment.
I can listen to it later.
You can. It's going to be my tranny segment. So.
I'm glad I'm leaving.
That's the point. No. It'll be. No, it's actually generically. I'm gonna be on a radio show next week. I'm gonna be interviewed next Tuesday on KBOO FM. KBOO.FM. It's a gender program called Gender Blender. It's a
almost Portland. Like your joke.
What?
BOO. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we can't edit the joke. Is that what makes sense?
Yeah. Why did you do that? Because now
actually, just submit another joke in there.
Yeah.
And that'll work. You know, like
ooh la la.
Yeah. Give a Bulgarian joke.
All right. Anyhow, I'm going to be on it. We'll talk about it after the break. Vaya con Dios. Thank you, my friend.
Sona vista.
Adios,
you didn't do that, by the way, today.
No, I've learned.
Okay.
Do you want to give a plug for Bunjo's? Who's coming this weekend?
BunjosComedy.com. We are no shows this weekend because the restaurant where we have the club... Anyway, no shows this weekend, but Festivus on the 23rd and 24th, Christmas Eve,
nice.
For all the Jews and atheists.
And are you doing your big kosher comedy thing this year on Christmas?
Well, it's the Festivus. That's
okay.
How we, you
all
know,
right.
We do it as Festivus, 23rd and 24th, BunjosComedy.com.
All right, because somebody else has got the kosher Christmas thing wrapped up, San Francisco.
Yeah, but I just like it more all-encompassing.
So who's the next person you got coming to Bunjos? Next big name?
They're all local. It's like when somebody says to me, well, who do you have coming? I mean,
I just said to you, who I have coming.
Right. Well, no. But you said the next big name, and I mean, people, you know, we book all, it's local Bay Area comedians, so nobody's going to know the names.
Okay.
So, just.
But you do occasionally have, like, Larry's Bubble Brown. You've had people like Larry's Bubble Brown.
Oh, Larry Bubbles Brown is going to be actually the 26th.
He's been on Letterman, right?
He's been on Letterman.
So he's a nationally known comedian.
He is.
Why are you selling yourself short?
Okay, I shouldn't.
You are the comedy empress. You are the comedy Don Kirshner.
Okay. Hey.
All right, John. Thanks, man. Thank
you, my friend. All right, we're going to say goodbyes to John, have a slightly homoerotic hug, and we'll be back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. We're all inviting you. Please stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Mr. Monk. I'm net, no lack. So young, so fresh, so rat, like I don't know left. Then I ain't tryna be the RBST. Replace the R, throw me a B. So don't spend your life trying to find something that's in front of your eyes.
Spend your whole life down trying to find the answer. I'll be right here with a helping hand out for you.
Look for me, and I'll be there. Yeah.
ain't no weave, I'm really here. A wise man told me persevere, yep, to elevate me in my career. So still I'm here, and for my position, a birthday wishing they would've blew if they would've listened. And now we're gone. And they're missing, lost. Big difference, so don't pre me. Ask what's up like you can't see
I'm
me.
At the top,
I just do what needs be. No, holler at me if you need me.
Down, trying to find the answer. I'll be right here with a helping hand out for you.
To look for, you ain't gotta look far. Look forward, I'm dead. Free the lad, the clothes fit close. Creep swag, I work hard like stuff to haters. And took all the stairs, no escalators. And my pen kept on passing papers when other artists wouldn't pass a favor. Cold when I needed one. I'm a star, how you feeling, son? Trying to keep bringing them hits, cause my dreams got legs, so I'm chasing it.
Trying to find
all the right answers.
Uninterrupted direct digital feed straight into the pleasure zones of your brain.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Wow, there's an oldie but a goodie. I haven't played that one in a long time. And welcome back. We're 55 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, number 71, being recorded on the 9th of December 2009. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Parviz Vitali. John DeCoven has left us for the day. Jason Nathanson was not able to be with us this week, but you can catch him over at KNX underbar Jason over at Twitter. And you can hear Jason's report on Tiger Woods that was broadcast on KNX if you go over to the Schnauzer Logic blog. Sean was not able to be with us this week. He's down in Los Angeles, but you can... I don't know where you can catch Sean. Here, you can catch Sean here, I guess. Where you can catch Sean. Next week, I think we're going to have Doug Sovereign with us. Doug is a reporter from KCBS News Radio, and so we have not had a chance to check in with Doug for quite a long time, and so I think we'll have Doug next week. And we got loads of special guests coming up. I got my eye on a couple of people. Yeah, I got some stuff going on. I'm gonna start burning some bridges. I figure, like, why the hell not? I'm just gonna start asking people that I have absolutely no right to ask to be on the show.
Who's the first one? Larry Bubbles Brown?
You've seen Larry.
I've seen him, of course, but maybe that's a bridge you don't mind burning right away. Get that out of the way. Bring matches.
No, Larry's Larry. Yeah. No, I have. I'm gonna start working some of my contacts because I realize that some of the people that we know who've been on the show know some famous people. When you look on Facebook, I can see that there's a convergence of people. Like there are a few people that are fairly famous comedians that are friends with Ali Waller and Rich Tallarico and Jan Karam, and I mean all these people that we've had on the show before. So it makes it fairly easy for me to have an entree and say, "Hi, I'm a fan. You know, I'm a friend of all of these people, and I notice that you're their friend too. We'd love to have you on the show." Good. So I figured, like, that's a fairly safe way to approach somebody, you know.
Cool.
So I'm hopeful. So anyhow, I wanted to take a second here. As I mention every week, you know, I am transgender, recovering transsexual, whatever the fuck that means. It's obviously my way of kind of poking fun at the whole thing. And as long as we're doing that, let me also give a plug out to Ethan St. Pierre and Trans FM, where they broadcast this show. And a very sad thing happened. I don't know if you saw it. It was in the newspapers a couple of weeks ago. There was a sports writer for the LA Times, Mike Penna. Do you know Mike Penner?
No.
Fairly well-known sports writer for the LA Times. Times. I think he wrote about the Olympics. He wrote about the Dodgers. He was well known, well respected. And a couple of years ago, he came out in the newspaper that at the age of 50, he realized that he was transsexual, transgender, and he was going to transition on the job. He was going to continue writing under the name Christine Daniels and hope to be able to just go back to work and pick up where things were, and that was going to be that. It got a tremendous amount of national media coverage. Obviously, got a lot of derision on sites like, you know, Drudge and people poking fun of that kind of stuff. And, you know, and she seemed to go through the whole thing just fine. And I actually sent her a little note kind of offering encouragement and saying that I had been a transgender professional who sort of tried to keep my professional identity as I went through the transition. I didn't try to hide who I was, but felt like I needed to hold on to that because that was part of my ability to earn a living. So I wanted to pull that forward with me. And I didn't hear anything, but, you know, that's cool, and kind of went forward and didn't think anything of it until March of this year, when I was approached by a writer who was writing an article for an online magazine called The Edge about people who transition and then transition again. So people who sort of make more than one trip in gender, going from male to female or female to male and then back again and then back again. And in my case, of course, you know, I've got the frequent flyer miles because I've gone from male to female, female to male, male to female. And, you know, I tell people it's for the frequent flyer miles, but mostly it's because I really like paying four times as much for a haircut and having the people at BMW think that I'm a moron. That's magnifique. Anyhow, so part of the article, when the article came out, I got a lot of ink in this article, and I talked about my theories and what have you. It was actually, I thought it was nicely written and fairly balanced, and what was interesting is it was led off about Mike Penner, who had transitioned back again. Had gone from, you know, being Mike to being Christine, and then had gone from being Christine back to being Mike again. And so he was, I guess he's the right, gender pronouns are always difficult when you're talking about transition, so I'm just going to use them randomly. So he was sort of the centerpiece of the article, and I was surprised because I did not know a bit about Mike until I had read the article, and I thought, well, that's, you know, that's his prerogative, and I certainly understand the idea of going from A to B and then B to A. And so I sent another email, and I said, listen, you know, everyone has a right to change their mind as many times as they need to. And, you know, if you want to talk about the experience of changing again and what that means, because now you're kind of in the camp of this person is crazy. You know, people feel like, pick a gender, stick with it. You know, we're okay, whatever you choose is fine, but the fact that you feel like there's some fluidity here is, that's really what's weirding us out. And so I sent another note, you know, and kind of didn't hear anything back. And once again, I figured, okay, no worries, you know, that's fine. And I didn't think anything of it. And a couple weeks ago, LA Times front page, Saturday afternoon, I think it was, Mike Penner dead. Age of 52, and you know, you kind of look through the article with your fingers crossed because you think in your gut like you know what's going to be there, and there's the word suicide. Wow. So I sort of made some comments on there was a big article on the Huffington Post about this, and I offered some of my insight about this whole experience, and I'm going to be, as I mentioned, I'm going to be on this radio program that Jacob Anderson Minshall, I think I'm saying it, Jacob's name right, M-I-N-S-H-A-L-O, Minshall? Yeah, Minshall, has called Gender Blender, and it's on KBOO FM. If you're in the Seattle, no, I guess it's the Portland area, you'll be able to listen to it live. It'll be next Tuesday, the 15th, from 6 to 7 Pacific time. It's Portland, Oregon. Okay, I was right. And it'll be streaming live on kboo.fm. So you'll be able to go there and listen to the show live. We'll put a link to it, obviously, and I'll catch up on that. But one of the things that I've noticed is that as people talk about this, they talk about people who have detransitioned as though they've undone what they've done, as though it's possible to undo the experience of living in the opposite gender for any length of time, you know, as opposed to going to a costume party. And I'm troubled by this because there are now a lot of stories, because of Mike's death, there's a lot of stories about people who have detransitioned. And, you know, does that mean that they realize that they made a mistake and what was the reason behind that and all of that? And obviously someone who has done it more than once, I have some interesting insights into it. So I'm actually I sat down, I'm starting to write, so I'm writing writing a, I don't know, an article. I mean, I've got about 2,500 words at this point, so it's a pretty good size piece that, you know, I'll try to get published someplace. I'll certainly publish, self-publish it, to give some insight into the experience. But what I read today on this website that they're talking about, you know, people who transition and what they used? They sort of talked about it as people who transition and regrets. And I just thought, you know what, like when you talk about something in terms of de-something something, you know, undoing and regrets, then you're already laying on top of it the sense of failure and remorse. And I mean, people who get married and then get divorced, you're not saying that they're demarried. You know, they're divorced. It's different than being demarried. Once you've been divorced, it changes you. Once you've been married, it changes you forever, even if you're single again, right? And once you've experienced lots of different things, I mean, once you've jumped out of an airplane, right? If you've gone skydiving and then you decide you're never going to go skydiving again, you can't unexperience those kind of life-changing experiences. And you're not supposed to want to. I mean, unless it was the last hour of Schnauzer Logic, in which case that can easily be erased. But other than that, you can't unhear things, you can't unsee things, you can't undo things. That's part of what makes us who we are. And so I am really uncomfortable, and I wrote to Jacob, and I said, I'm not sure I want to be on the show, because the way the show has been put together, it kind of looks like these are people that have gone from one gender to another and then have retransitioned. I always looked at it as basically passing over the same spot, but going, you know, on a different ramp. So, you know, if you look at the local freeways, I mean, there's lots of highway that crosses over the same spot in space, but sometimes you're going north, and sometimes you're going south, and sometimes you're coming east, and sometimes you're on an exit ramp. I mean, they all, you know, cross over the same spot. So I think you're just going out through the same entrance you came in through. But that doesn't mean that you're going back. And so I wrote to explain that, you know, if they wanted to have a discussion about detransitioning and the regrets of transitioning, that was certainly a fine conversation to have, but I didn't want to be any part of that, because I don't want to give anyone the power to decide that people that decide to do anything with their lives don't have the right to do that. I think at the end of the day, everyone has the right to decide to live their lives however they feel they want to. And if it's not hurting anyone else, then, you know, gay goes into hate, as the Hindus say. Live your life, make mistakes, make more changes, do it again and again and again. And you should never, ever, ever feel badly about changing your mind. That's how we got into fucking Iraq. Because the president was unwilling to change his mind. I mean, that's just what happens. You got to be willing to change your mind. Anyhow, I apologize for bloviating there. You have any insight into this at all, or
have you seen or felt any kind of backlash from you being transgendered?
Well,
I remember specifically you were being interviewed in Santa Cruz. I remember those callers calling up and just being kind of mean. And
yeah, but that's entertainment. I don't care.
So if you don't care about that, but you do care about talking about going back and forth?
No, I don't mind talking about it. And I think I'm going to try to go on to the show, and I'm writing about it as well. I think there's a lot of insight that I've had from going back and forth and trying to integrate what I've learned each way. And
you just don't want it to turn into, you see, it's better that you just stay the
right
way you are.
That's what it is. It's not about me. I'm at a point in my life where people that don't agree with the way that I live my life can go fuck themselves. I mean, that's my philosophy. Right? That's what the Buddha said. Fuck you and everyone that looks like you. So I don't really care what people think about me. I'm worried about people that feel that they're so trapped that they take their own lives.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an uncommon... And it doesn't have to be gender that you feel trapped in. It can be relationships. It can be how you earn your employment. It can be... You know, there's 1,000 things that we can get trapped in where suddenly we feel like there's no way out. Like, I'm stuck here. And that becomes, I think, the basis for a kind of a fundamental depression that can become suicide in many people. I mean, I still struggle with it. I don't struggle with it with respect to gender, my gender expression is my gender expression. You know, period, end of story, and it's weird and strange, and, you know, sometimes I use one voice, and sometimes I use another voice, and, you know, as Judith Butler wrote, you know, an open society will permit the adoption and discarding of identities in accordance with the task at hand, right? You can be whatever you need to be in order to do the job that you need to do. That's fairly simple to understand, and it's hard for me to understand why anybody would argue with that as a philosophy. But I'm concerned that there are people who will use this, as you just said, to kind of say, see, you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And why should anyone be prevented from exploring anything that they think will make them even 1% happier?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a question.
And even today, people come out. It's a big deal. It's still a big deal in 2009. Mm-hmm. If the singer in American Idol comes out, he's gay. If Meredith Baxter Burney, after three marriages, comes out and she says she's a lesbian, it's still a big deal. It's like... like you said, if she's happy, she's happy. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
If Adam's happy, he's happy. Who cares?
And if Meredith Baxter Burney wants to go back to dating men again,
who cares?
Well,
I mean, to you and I,
that's why you're my friend.
You and I, it's who cares. But people, there's just a lot of people that don't get it, and they're wasting a lot of time trying to figure it out.
How do I get on Oprah? I got to talk about this.
You do.
How do I get on Oprah to talk about this?
Write a book, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'm working on the first chapter. I'm working on the first chapter.
I bet you could write a very interesting book.
I'm working on the first chapter. It's very interesting. I mean, I've liked what I've written so far.
I bet you it would be great. Seriously, I'm
like,
on honesty. I bet you can give us a lot of insight of transgenders. And you could be funny about it, and it could be people would enjoy reading it.
I came up with the joke about the haircut and the BMW, and you guys both laughed at that. That's in the article.
Well, there it is.
Well, and I think the implication is that, you know, people are so quick to judge, but when you write these things and when you show who you are, it's who you are that's important. And if you're happy,
right.
Awesome.
Right.
You know,
I don't know if it's on the same lines, but it's on the lines of being happy. And my argument has always been, I can't stand when somebody puts somebody down for doing something that makes them happy. Mm-hmm. Whether it's watching 40 hours of TV, whether it's liking a certain person, a media person. Like, a lot of kids can say, I love Miley Cyrus,
Miley Cyrus.
Or they like the New Moon movie. The kids are like, who cares? Let them enjoy. Because you know what? For that moment in their life, they're freaking happy.
Yeah.
And it's not harming anyone. They're not harming anybody, but they're looking up to somebody who is
ethically and integrous.
Yeah. For the most part, it's all about being happy. It truly is about on this planet, it's about being happy. Whether it is people you look up to, or you create something with your hands, or you create a radio show, or you create a car, it's about being happy. And it's amazing how people get into this depression of failing, whether it's transgender or coming out and their career went to crap. It's sad. It's terribly sad.
This is the same guy that was doing all of the stuff about the dead people, by the way. All right. Listen, I want to thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Thank you so much for being here. I love you, too. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't be attached to the outcome. We'll be back next week. I'll put the links on the blog. Thank you, Bayana. We like you. We love you, too.
We love you.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.